Here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, we'll be continuing our Be the Media workshop series on Tuesday, May 12th with longtime Democracy Now! Producer Renee Feltz. Today, Renee is here to talk about the workshop and reporting in the time of COVID-19. Renee, welcome back to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
It's lovely to be back. I wish I could join you in person, but for now, this will have to suffice.
Let's start off with your work with Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Has continued to be, let's say, a lifeline of information in this time of this pandemic of COVID-19. I was wondering if you could just start off by talking about what it's like to oversee the production of this daily news show covering both national and international events. Like, what is like the editorial decisions you have to make, and what exactly is your role in putting Democracy Now! Together?
Kind of like your program, Democracy Now! Has managed to stay on the air without interruption throughout the pandemic, even though we're in the epicenter of the epicenter, as they say, of the crisis. We've been able to have most of the people in our office, such as our office manager, our archives director, our Spanish department, our fundraising, many of those people in our social media team are working remotely and staying safe and stopping community spread by working from home. But we do have a small, I've been calling it a micro crew, that comes in each morning to work with Amy in the TV studio that we have here and make the show happen. I actually ride my bicycle in from Harlem into the Chelsea neighborhood. So this morning that meant that I rode through Times Square and I got to see a brand new billboard that was put up by the filmmaker Eugene Jarecki, that instead of keeping track of the debt, it actually keeps track of the deaths from COVID. And so it's a Trump deaths billboard that updates with numbers. And I got to ride past that this morning. That was a new addition to all the billboards in Times Square. Apparently, billboard rental is cheap now there. And when I come in, I'm working with an engineer who handles all of our guests that join us now on Skype, instead of in a TV studio. And I work with a few other people here that do the video elements, the sound, the audio, but everybody else is from home.
What is it like to produce news in this time? What have you changed, or what are some of the challenges that you all have had to overcome?
Well, one of the things we've done now is that everything on the show is pretty much dealing with the pandemic. In fact, if you're familiar with Democracy Now!, it used to be sort of referred to as the War and Peace Report when Amy introduced it, but now she introduces it as the Quarantine Report. Kind of rolls off the tongue nicely, play of words. But more seriously, it is a bit intimidating to cover the pandemic because I'm not, frankly, a science journalist. I don't have a lot of medical background. And yet, part of what we're trying to do to inform the public that's turning to us is to report accurately on what's happening with the infections and what can be done about it. So, and to keep people safe and to save lives. But on the plus side, I'm fortunate that Amy, the host, has a background in biomedical ethics. Her brother, Stephen Goodman, is a nationally renowned epidemiologist at Stanford Medical School. Her father was a physician. So she brings a lot of experience to the table. And then I try to draw upon my own experience covering other disasters, such as when I was news director at KPFT, a Pacifica station in Houston in 2005, during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And I also was on the Democracy Now! Team when Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy hit the New York area. And we stayed on the air during that time as well. One of the things that I learned when I was news director during Hurricane Katrina is that, of course, you know, hurricanes happen, pandemics happen, just like now, but it's not so much the what happened, it's how it's handled by the, for example, the federal administration And as we saw, Kanye West say about George W. Bush administration, he left Black people to die. He didn't care about Black people in New Orleans. And now people are wondering almost the same question about Trump during this pandemic, as we look at the racial disparities of its impact. And so even though I don't have a science background, I do have a good background as a muckraker and looking at malfeasance. And there's plenty of that to follow right now.
As you referenced, Renee, you have a long history as a journalist in independent media specifically. You're known for covering immigration and criminal justice types of stories. You were going to come up from New York to give a workshop in Troy, New York for our all-volunteer production crew. And you are making time for us now in time on Tuesday, May 12th, to give a virtual workshop for our producers. Can you talk about the importance of independent media, community media, and your background as a journalist?
You know, it's interesting time for independent media because there's a lot at stake right now. And we also see a lot of the corporate media and other media outlets facing challenges with their bottom line and having to lay off reporters. Perhaps that creates a window of opportunity for independent journalists like ourselves to rise to the challenge and fill in the gap that might be created with others losing their job. I'm sad to hear about the loss of their job, but part of that is to say that we can sort of re-envision what the future of media looks like, just like we can re-envision the future of everything else, you know, in this crisis, and not so much leave it up to others to decide. So if independent journalists like ourselves step up to the plate, some of the things that I ask myself now in terms of what to cover is, of course, the underrepresented voices that we often look at, but then also, you know, how that plays out through the lens of the pandemic. For example, instead of only looking at, you know, how are the checks being distributed, what about asking, like, how are people helping each other through mutual aid projects? Instead of covering Governor Cuomo's comments lambasting the people without homes for making the subways dirty and suffering from mental health problems after they were kicked out of mental health wards due to concerns to the pandemic, without a lot of, you know, assistance. But, you know, so now they're just trying to survive. And so instead of maybe kind of covering just Cuomo's comments about the homeless, taking a different tack and sort of looking at how people are trying to reclaim homes to live in, for example, in California with the Moms for Housing. I saw a good bit of reporting in Florida. The reporters, they were independent. They were with the outlet called The Appeal, which covers a lot of criminal justice issues, often at the local level like you guys do. And they looked. They requested the data on the arrests of people in the past month, let's say, in a few weeks. And then they looked at the vagrancy arrest and the charges that homeless people were facing. And they found that 1 in 3 homeless people in Miami had been arrested in the last few weeks for violating, you know, the problems with the pandemic, you know, sort of these charges chalked up to being out without a mask. And so looking at the criminalization of people in the pandemic is something that we've often, as independent journalists, looked at, you know, the underrepresented people, the people who are so-called the voices, the voiceless. But now we can sort of look at how the pandemic is impacting them. One thing that's going to come up increasingly is what's going to happen with our city, our county, and our state budgets as the mayors and the lawmakers start to put forth their proposals. You know, who's at the table figuring out what's going to happen next in terms of cuts, and whether it's who's at the table at the city council meeting. Maybe they don't get to the table, but maybe we as journalists can raise those voices up and raise the concerns so that they are addressed when the meeting happens.
Thanks for that, Renee. And any insight on how you, Democracy Now, as an organization, will be moving forward?
How do we creatively cover resistance? It's challenging as a television program to have a rule that I'm not supposed to go out and film anything. And so this has pushed me and other producers to rely more on the media coverage, such as like the video or pictures that organizers and activists generate of themselves that they share on social media. And so one thing we've seen with demonstrations or protest, even when we think about Ahmaud Arbery down in Brunswick, Georgia, his murder and how people were not able to respond with protests in the streets right away because of the pandemic and social distancing, you know, eventually they did come out. Other people that have been calling decarceration and releasing people from prisons that essentially are death traps now, they've been holding car caravan protests. You've probably seen that upstate, and we are able to work with the organizers to get them to send us material so that we can still cover it. And so it's been really interesting, I guess, as an organization to see how are we going to keep covering these voices of resistance in a way that really makes sure that they're heard. And it's been an opportunity to collaborate, I guess, a little bit more with activists on that.
It also almost brings it back to like sort of the early days of Democracy Now! And more collaborations with folks like Indie Media. So Renee, you're leading this workshop on Tuesday, May 12th for our producers at the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. This was supposed to obviously be an in-person workshop on like investigative journalism. Now we are hosting it over Zoom in this COVID era. We'll be covering the sort of things that you're talking about, muckraking with a conscience. But is there anything as we wrap up this interview today that you would like go into further?
I really do hope that some of the people who have been doing the reporting that you're involved in, and maybe folks that want to do a little bit more, will come out to the workshop. I plan to leave plenty of time for questions and discussions and comments, so that I can hear from you what you're working on, and maybe we can workshop some ideas. What we do as independent journalists is really important right now, and we want to do the best we can as the public relies on us and as we rely on each other. So I hope to see everyone come out, and I'm looking forward to it. And I wish I could be there in person, but I know we'll make the best of this in the new normal.